Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, well, g'day everyone, and welcome to the first ever All Talk with Jason Hoyt and Mike Minogue, our first ever podcast. Very nice to have your company. Wherever you may be in the world, whatever country you may be, whatever time it is, whatever day it is fantastic that you've joined us. And Mike Minogue, g'day, mate.
G'day, mate. Yeah, it is good to be here. I didn't know we were going to come in with this much energy. Can I just...
Oh, look, I can assure you that that will fade after about 5 minutes. I've always been of the sort of philosophy, you come in hot. So I'm coming in hot, but I can promise you as the podcast goes on, depending on the duration of it, of course, because we don't know, I'll just gradually ease out over time. And I'll be checking my Fitbit throughout the podcast just to make sure that my heart rate, Mike, doesn't get over the 120 mark, which it does when I come in way too hot.
Yeah, well, mine's hovering around about 130 because I've just had a an energy drink and a dairy. So the blood's really struggling to make its way through the heart at the moment. But, yeah, happy days.
Look, mate, I'll be honest with you. I almost get the impression in terms of you and I doing this podcast, the only reason you're doing it is that it's an excuse to have a durry and that you can bludge one off me.
That's right. Well, you are a what my wife would call a bad influence.
Right.
Because I don't smoke cigarettes at all unless I'm with you.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, it's I'm very excited about doing this podcast with you, mate. And incidentally, I spent a week... as well, you know, last weekend, quite a significant weekend for me.
Yeah.
In your part of the world, the beautiful Waiheke Island, mate, and geez, what a paradise it is over there.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And, you know, you were there for a a good few days, and you knew where I live. You knew that you were more than welcome to come over and see me. But you never showed up.
Well,
you never called or text, and I was standing at my window doing the dishes, and I look out, and who do I see but yourself there in a blue checkered shirt and blue jeans. It was a very hot day. I was surprised to see you in jeans, walking along with your daughters there and your wife, and I saw once you got to my house, you crossed the road.
Well, initially, in fairness to me, I didn't know which house was yours. And there was occasions where I looked up, but I know that you've got a little one at home. And, you know, there's nothing worse than unwanted strangers or visitors just knocking on the door, waking up the little one when you've just finally got them settled there in the cot. And I didn't want to do that to you. So that's the reasoning behind
that. That's the excuse you've come up with. Yeah, well, it was a good one. No, it's it would have been nice to see you because, as you say, it was a big occasion for you. Your 50th birthday.
Well, hang on there. Let me just. There's been a lot of speculation about just how old I am, and there has been some confusion.
Right.
And that's understandable because it coincided, Mike, with daylight savings.
Ah.
So we were in it. Well, me particularly, I was in a scenario where I wasn't sure whether to put my age back a couple of years or forward a couple of years. So I've gone for the option, let's put it back a couple of years. So to be fair to you and to all the listeners out there that are even vaguely interested, I haven't cracked the 50.
Haven't cracked the 50. Oh, well, don't choke.
No, I certainly won't, my friend. Hey, should we crack into it?
I think so.
Look, I've always been of the philosophy, you know, when you're first starting a project like this podcast, that you come in hard, that you come in hot with some really great stuff. So I'm thinking, I don't know how you feel about this, you and I get into a bit of pet chat.
Is that dog doing a shit on my lawn?
Cat's dead, kids. Truck and trailer from the looks.
Pet advice with Jason Mike.
Yeah, we've got a letter here, Jace, from our loyal listeners. And it's amazing how many listeners we've got considering we haven't even released a podcast yet. But we've had some questions flying in on the Instagram, flying in on the Facebook.
Well, can I just say, you mentioned to me the other day, Mike, you gave me a call and you said, mate, we've been inundated. Mm. It's been a fire hose of people sending in their letters and their requests. And you've been up till 2 or 3 every morning just trying to sift through it all.
Yep, that's right. And we've got an absolute ripper to kick off here. Dear Jason Mike, poo bag or no poo bag? Lots of love, John from Paikakariki. You've got a dog, mate. I've got a dog.
Yeah, John, what a great question, and it's a question I'm so often asked by other pet owners, poo bag or no poo bag? Mm. Well, let me just start off straight off the bat to say, yeah, look, I think if you're taking your dog for a walk, it is customary and it is polite to take a poo bag. You can't be in a situation where you're walking your dog and they lay a dump on someone's lawn and you just walk on by. That's not acceptable in my book. What about yourself?
No, it's not. Not on somebody's lawn, but it depends. We're talking that front verge because there's a lot of conjecture as to who owns that front verge. For example, at my place, I have to mow that front verge, so you would assume that it was mine as rentor of that property. But then every man and his dog parks on that verge.
Right, I see.
So then maybe it's not my verge at all. So if it's not the owner of the property's verge and it's council property, well, do you just let your dog take a dump there and don't worry about it?
Yeah, that's a good question, mate. A very good question, because I'm in that. I'm in a very similar situation with the verge scenario. But I don't know if you find this with your dog. But incidentally, what sort of dog have you got? It's a toy. Can I call it a toy dog, mate? Is it a toy dog? It's a toy, isn't it?
It's a very real dog. The dog's name is Tinker.
Tinker. Well, I think that sort of sums it up in one, doesn't it?
It's a King Charles Spaniel.
Yes,
crossed with a Papillon. Papillon is, of course, French for butterfly.
Right, okay.
So it's sort of a manly sort of a dog. When I met my wife, she already had the dog.
Yes.
And I fell in love with both of them deeply.
With the Papillon.
With the Papillon.
And your lovely wife, partner. Yeah. Well, I've got a Border Collie cross with a Rottweiler. She's a farm dog.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you lived on a farm.
Oh, we don't, actually. But we do have a very big, large back property that she can run around at. And, of course, we walk her every day, so she's well looked after. She's in great condition, right. Great neck. Just on the poo bag thing, I don't know about you, but my dog has a very specific excrement regime, if I can put it that way, i.e. she gets up in the morning, we feed her, and then within generally 3 or 4 minutes she takes a dump on the lawn. And that always happens. But interestingly, Mike, whenever I take my dog for a walk, within 5 minutes she takes another dump.
Right.
And I think that's just out of spite.
Right.
I think she knows that I hate having to carry a poo bag with me for the duration of the walk, so she lays a dump early on.
Right. Yeah, no, my dog does pretty much the same thing. As soon as you get out there, she's dropping one. And I think what she keeps an eye out for is she's watching to see if I tie the bag up.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if I put a knot in the bag, she'll take another dump, which means I have to undo the bag and somehow get that second dump into the bag without touching any of the filthy plastic or indeed the poo itself.
Okay, yeah, so you're not in the scenario where you take like those little, a roll of dog poo bags, you just take the one poo bag.
Well, it varies. But yeah, what I don't like to do is use multiple bags.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems weird to me that you're preserving a dog poo in plastic that takes 5,000 years to break down. You know what I mean?
I know exactly. It doesn't make sense. And the last thing you want, I mean, if you've got multiple bags, to be walking around with a fistful of bags of poo in your hand.
No, that's right.
And one of the other awkward things too, it's just on the bags, could I make this point? It's really important, and this is something that pet owners often neglect, the colour of the bag is really important. For example, I go for a black, a dark poo bag, or indeed a khaki sort of dark green poo bag, so that you're not looking and there's no clear vision of what's inside said dog bag. You don't want to be going for your translucent, your sort
transparent
of
one. Your
transparent one, where you inadvertently bump into someone on the street, you know, one of your mates, and you're having a chat, and that mushed up dog shit is clearly visible to both parties.
Well, it's funny you say that, actually, because I've taken to just carrying a roll of Glad wrap around with me.
Right, okay.
And I can just, depending on the size of the poop there, I can just rip a sheet off,
yes,
and just roll each one up individually, so it's a little bit more snug. And I'm just trying to use a little bit less plastic and have less of a carbon footprint if I can.
Yeah.
The other way that I do that is I pretend to pick the poo up. So what I'll do is I'll put my hand inside the bag. I'll reach down beside the poo.
Yeah, nice.
As you say, I sort of take the dog out for a walk on the beach, and I'll reach down beside the poo. So anybody watching looks to the naked eye, it looks like I'm picking the poo up, but I'll just pick up a handful of sand.
Yeah, that's very good. Because I was going to ask, because you are literally right on the beach there, you know, and your dog, there's the sandy poo, as we can refer to it. But that's not so bad, isn't it? Because you can actually, if you're actually grabbing it, grab a handful of sand as well. It's sort of scoop it out, if you like.
Right.
You can't do that on your grass.
Yeah.
Look, I'll be honest with you, mate. I mean, I find it horrific when I'm walking around with a dog poo in my hand and you bump into someone. you know, and you're having a chat. We all know what's in there. So what I tend to do is, after she's done the dump, after 5 minutes or so, I pick up the poos, I do a little knot in it. Then there's a little bush segment that is on the way there, about two minutes further down the path. I just heave it in there, mate.
Yeah,
just to let it just, you know, leach away over time.
That's right. Well, there's actually a lot of holiday homes on Waiheke.
Mm.
So what I'll do is I'll pick the poo up and I'll be walking along and I'll just make sure there's no traffic coming and I'll just fling it up on the roof of one of the holiday homes, and it just sort of settles in the guttering there after a good rain so nobody can see it. Just on that sandy poo thing, I was down with my kid down at the park up the road yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other kids there. And one of the mothers said to a sort of a seven-year-old girl who was playing with another seven-year-old girl there, oh, did you just give this rock to her child, who was probably 14, 15 months, to play with? And it turns out that was a poo.
A solidified, hardened dog poo.
Well, no, it wasn't as hard as she thought it was.
So right, this, okay.
These girls started teasing each other about the fact that they'd been playing with shit in the sandpit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So nice.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's where I do draw the line, though, to be fair. I mean, if my dog takes a dump in the sandpit of a playground, I will pick it up.
Oh, will you?
Well, or either that or I'll just bury it in that particular scenario. But it's an interesting question. I had an interesting scenario whereby I was taking my dog for a walk. She'd done her poo, so I had my poo bag. Then I heaved the poo bag. But as we were walking along, she did a little wee. She did wheeze on this man's lawn, just on the very front verge of his lawn. This guy was furious. He was screaming at us, clean that up! Clean, that's disgusting! Clean it up! I mean, for God's sake, Mike, how am I supposed to clean that up? I mean, am I supposed to be walking around with a poo bag and, for example, a bucket and sponge so I can sponge the urine out of the grass? I mean, that was completely unreasonable in my view.
Well, I think you could sponge the urine up and just wring it out into the poo bag.
Well, I could do, but it just seems a little bit extreme to me. I mean, then you're getting into a scenario, and you can relate to this having a young one. You know, when it comes to going out anywhere, you know, you got to get your sponge, you got to get your bucket, you got to get your poo bag. It's like with little kids, you know, you got to get the porter kit, the porter cot.
Yeah.
You got to get nappies, you got to get a change of clothes. It's a palaver. It just puts me off when I walk my dog at all.
You're better off putting a bullet in the bastard.
Yeah, I would say so.
Anyway, I hope that answers your question, John. As far as it comes to poo bags, you can do it or not, I guess.
Yeah.
There
was another question here just very quickly about, because you mentioned the bullet there, someone talking about their dog having issues with their anal gland.
Mm.
What should I do with my dog's anal gland? Look,
that a weeper, is it?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's weeping or not. It's a bulldog, I know that much, which is pretty great. I had a quick look into that.
Mm.
My advice to you would be...
a quick look into
anal glands on dogs. Not a pretty sight. My advice would be what my uncle on the farm would say, it's time for that dog to go out to the back paddock.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that, shall I?
Yeah.
Hey, now, listen, you and I are both well-known and famous performers, mate. You particularly, can I just make the point, 2019 New Zealand's best actor. Congratulations on that, by the way, mate. What, well deserved.
Oh, I was going to say well deserved, but you've said it for me. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I watch your performance.
You seem shocked.
I think it's absolutely terrific. It was really interesting when you won Best Actor, because I'd been working with you on the ACC. What a lovely bloke you were too, and I remember saying to Mike Lane, this was back in early 2019, geez, it's a pleasure working with Mike on the ACC. What a lovely fella he is. And he was like, yeah, he's a good bloke, isn't he? And then, interestingly, you won that Best Actor Award sort of, I don't know, was it mid-late 2019?
November 25.
Okay, November 25th, 2019. And the personality transformation was quite extraordinary, I have to say. Mm. You went from this nice, easygoing guy to... suddenly having a rider. I remember you smashing a bowl of cashew nuts against the wall. I remember
they
you
weren't salted, were they?
They weren't salted. I remember you insisting on having four bottles of grapefruit tonic water that had to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And in the space of a very short time, you went from a really nice, approachable guy to, well, can I put it bluntly, an asshole?
Right.
Mm.
Well, I guess you can. But it's funny, isn't it? As an actor, Jace, you're very... actors are naturally sort of insecure people. We're never sure if we're worthy enough. Have you sort of found that in your 30-year career, that there's sort of a question around your self-worth, imposter syndrome, do I deserve to be here?
Oh, no, I've never had that. I've always thought I'm worthy enough. The issue that I've had, Mike, is that no one else has thought I'm worthy enough.
No, that's not true.
Thus, I haven't been given any acting awards.
No, but you've been nominated.
That's true.
And I've heard people say that being nominated is just as good. It's just as good as winning. And I'd been nominated before, and I can tell you that's a lie.
Yeah.
Because
that's bullshit.
Yeah, winning's better.
Because then you're in that situation, because it happens in the Oscars, doesn't it, where you know, people that are nominated for an Oscar and they don't win, they have to put on that, oh, casual, it's okay, yeah, face, and really they're seething with rage inside.
Yeah, and as you should be, really. I mean, it is a weird thing to compete with, though, isn't it, acting? Is it?
It is. Mm. Well, it's not apples and oranges. For example, if someone were to say you were the best shot putter in New Zealand of the year, well, you could understand that because, for example, you threw...
I putted it further.
You putted it 21.6 metres, for example, whereas with an actor, it's very subjective. Mm. I mean, did you learn more lines than other actors? Is that why you're the best actor? I don't think so.
No.
So it's a very subjective, interesting subject, really, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting to us, but possibly not to our listeners.
Yeah.
But we've got this, we've got this acting section here, Jace, where... our listeners can send in any questions they've got about our technique, about auditioning.
Yeah.
If they're looking to get any insights into what it is to be an actor in New Zealand. So you can send through any and all of your emails to me at Mr. Mike Minogue on Instagram, or indeed to our email address, which is crouchingknight with a K at gmail.com.
Cut! Let's go again, please. One more time.
Jason, Mike bring you Acting Chat. Hey, I believe you have a question for us, Mike, so fire away and we'll do our best to answer.
Hey guys, one of the best things about being an actor must be how you get to hook into your castmates in as much details as you can possibly manage. What's your favourite sex scene you've ever been a part of? Cheers. And that's from Dave in Premarima Maximum Security Prison.
Yeah, well, thanks for the question, Dave. We greatly appreciate it. And I can't help but feel, I mean, obviously prison's not a great place to be, Mike, but he's just looking for a little bit of titillation there. Mm. He's looking to maybe get something that might stimulate him while he's in Premarima prison. But it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I think, you know, it's like the Olympic Village during the Olympics. Apparently it's just a root fest. Mm. And there's this similar kind of thought sometimes that casts, when they're working on shows, it's a similar sort of thing where everyone's having sex with everyone. We're all free-loving sort of liberal actors and stuff. That's not the case, isn't it? And I would suggest very strongly, actually, there's that old adage about, you know, you don't sleep with the people you work with, you don't sleep with your flatmates, that sort of stuff. What's been your experience of this?
Well, we are always, you know, I work on Wellington Paranormal, and people think that me and Karen are rooting each other.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not yet.
No, you're not yet?
No,
okay.
No, I mean...
has there ever been any simmering moments where potentially that could happen? Because often the success of a show, I think you'll agree with me, is that simmering chemistry between the male and the female leads.
Yeah.
That can be, I think, I'm thinking of like, was it called Moonlighting with Sybil Shepherd
and Bruce Willis?
Oh, mate.
Sure. Remington Steele.
Oh, Remington Steele. That's another. I used to watch those shows and get really turned on.
Right, did you?
You know, I was about 12, 13, 14 years old, and the simmering sexual tension, I couldn't identify it as such at that age.
Right.
But I used to just walk away from those shows insanely horny.
Right.
Yeah, and it was because of that.
You must have been in your mid-20s when Remington Steele was out.
Well, no, I think, I was a tween. I was a tween.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Around that age. Yeah, look, to be honest with you, have you, first and foremost, have you done a sex scene in any of your acting?
No, I haven't. The closest I've come to a sex scene would have been in the one and only play that I've ever done at Circa Theatre in Wellington probably 6 or 7 years ago. And it was me and the female lead, and we sort of, to set the scene for you there, the lights come up.
Yeah.
Myself and my co-star burst through the door. We're in a passionate embrace, passing each other silly.
Yeah. Well, can I just stop you there very quickly?
Yeah.
When you were saying you're passing each other silly, are we talking serious tongue action? Did you talk about this with each other? Because it says that, it's all very well to say it in the script, they're passionate, passing vigorously.
Yeah.
Did you chat about that, or did you just start passing?
You know, I can't remember, but I do remember it being a concern. But I don't know if we did talk about it, but I know we would have. It would have been a weird thing to not discuss.
Yeah.
But there was no tongues involved. It was very much a case of making it look like.
Okay, yeah, nice.
And that's something you sell with your body language, Jace.
Yeah.
Vigorous head movements, a very firm embrace, the movement of arms up and down the back, all that sort of thing, makes it seem like you're really going at it in the tongue department. But
yeah. Just on that front, I know that you very much look after your body, Mike, and I believe in a couple of months' time you'll be starting a body workshop for actors, and it's kind of a yoga, stretchy sort of scenario, so that the actors learn how to use their bodies as a tool.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you'll find with a lot of actors, they don't know what to do with their hands.
Yes.
You know, in a scene, though, you know, you and I at the moment, we're not even thinking about what we're doing with our hands, are we? But as soon as you put a camera on someone or put an audience in front of them, all of a sudden it feels like they've got these two alien things hanging off their body.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the worst in the business at that. I don't know.
Oh, look, so am I.
I just put my hands in my pocket.
I can remember the first time, in all seriousness, where I had to walk towards camera. And this is absolutely true. And I just remember, and it was quite a long walk. It was like 20 or 30 meters.
Right.
And I just remember, I just lost the ability to walk
right.
because I was aware of the fact that I was on camera. And suddenly you're right, that my legs felt wrong.
Yes.
My hands felt wrong. Mm. So I might join up with your body workshop,
yeah.
mate, on that. In that regard.
Well, I remember seeing you in that, and it was weird because normally you go right foot forward, left arm forward.
Yes.
And you were going right foot forward, right arm forward. So you're sort of doing this sort of a Theresa May march across the stage. It was something to behold.
Yeah, well, the other side of that, when I was a young child, Mike, you won't know this about me, I had a disease called osteomyelitis, and so my legs were in casts for 6 months. I was in hospital.
How old were you?
I was about four,
oh, yeah.
And because of that, I've got weirdly shaped legs now,
right.
and we call it quarter to three. Oh, so you know how ballerinas get into a pose with the legs, with the feet
legs
splayed
asunder.
Out? Yeah, that's my legs just in natural repose, and so I walk at quarter to three anyway, so it's already weird.
Right.
So let's get back to your play. You're in a passionate embrace. The lights come up.
We
you burst through the doors.
For all appearances, we're passionate each other. We make our way over to the couch.
Yeah.
And then in the process of making our way to the couch, I knock her wig off. And it turns out that the character's it's got cancer. She's had chemotherapy.
Right, okay.
So that sort of killed the mood.
Yeah.
And so that's as far as we got in the sex scene of that.
Right,
was
so.
Kissing. And that was without tongue. So
that was just mashing your mouths together really uncomfortably, sort of smashing your teeth together, that kind of thing.
And weirdly.
Like your first third form social pash.
Oh, I didn't start kissing until later than that.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was very weird because I had absolutely no feeling of, sort of no attraction. There's nothing against her.
Yes.
Towards her. I had no perhaps it was a chemistry there, but I certainly didn't feel tempted to try and engage her in anything after the show. She had a boyfriend as well.
Right, okay.
Which, so that was.
Yeah. And you didn't have a girlfriend still until your late 20s, wasn't it, your first partner?
Yeah, it was very late on. Oh, actually, I was in my 30s when I did this play.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But that's as close as I've come. But I know that you've had a lot of
Look,
sex.
I've had a few. And there's a lot of misconceptions about sex scenes. You know, you see the Brad Pitts and the likes. But that's all to do with lighting and camera angles and all that sort of stuff. The reality is it's quite humiliating.
Yeah.
I did a sex scene.
Especially for you with your weird legs.
Yeah, with my weird legs, you know, and I've always been a bit body conscious, so I've never been comfortable getting my kit off. I did a sex scene in a short film where I had to my eternal shame, wear what they call a naked G, which is a G-string, the colour of your flesh, basically. My flesh, oh. So a sort of reddish hue to it. And true story, actually, it was a female naked G. And so I had to wear this and my...
What was happening with your balls?
Well, that's exactly, there was some serious ball overhang and they were going, oh, we can't have this. I mean, there's nothing more unattractive than a man wearing a tanned naked G with testicular overhang going on.
Now, did you have one either side or two over one side?
Well, no, mine aren't that flexible. So I had, but even more disconcerting, that I had one either side, Mike, if I can explain it like that. Yeah. But also, one of my testicles is shorter than the other. So on one side, I had what you'd call a stubby testicle, just breaking the rim of the G-string, and the other a very low-hanging testicle.
That's strange, isn't it? So gravity had affected one of them more than the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And true story, what they actually had to do was the wardrobe people took it away, and they cut it down the front of the G-string.
Your ball bag?
No, the actual G-string. Uh-huh. And they put a bit of elastic in there so that the G-string could be stretched out and thus encompass my elongated testicles.
No wonder you've got this body shame.
Well, exactly.
Weird legs and weird balls.
Weird legs and weird balls, for sure. But and this sex scene, it was a proper sex scene, actually. We were both pretty much naked. And we tried to kind of choreograph it in a way, but it just... As much as you try and choreograph sex, it just never really worked, man. So we, at the end, you know, after about three or four takes, we went, shall we just go for this? Just put everything to the side and just go for it. And we did. And, you know, we were just bumping and grinding and doing all that sort of stuff. To be honest, it was quite arousing. And I had one in Gormsby too, but that was just someone pretending to love to me while I sat in a chair. And that didn't really... You only saw the back of my head. In fact, I think they might have even used a stunt double for that. Yeah. They didn't trust me to
deliver there.
Yeah.
Well, that is where, I mean, outside of the sex scene side of things, and just to stray away a little bit, this is a short film with a sex scene in it.
Yes.
Short films generally between 10 to 15 minutes, and you're putting a sex scene in it.
Yeah.
How long was the sex scene?
About 11. So it was a very, vigorous sex scene.
Right.
And there was a little bit of dialogue. I think we had about three lines each. It was more about the sort of sexual tension, if you like. So there you go.
Did I hear about this one? Is this one that you funded?
Mm.
And you cast a woman that you quite like the look of?
I think, I can't remember who funded it, actually. I don't even know if we got funding, to be honest. But
it wasn't released publicly, though.
Never been public, no. No. but I think we've answered Dave's question, don't you, from Perimarima?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good a wank you're going to get out of that, Dave, but yeah, all the best, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. So what are we about to go into now, Mike? Because we've just been talking about sexuality and so forth.
Well, before we move on with the acting stuff, I'd just like to ask you what you've been up to lately with your acting.
Well, I've been doing a little bit of...
You are a prolific actor, Jason, although you haven't, you know, you're not in your Shortland streets, although I'm sure you've been in that
I've
one of New Zealand's most... probably busiest character actors.
Well, mate, I was in Shortland Street a couple of times and I killed two of the main characters on Shortland Street. That's my claim to fame.
That's great.
The point where whenever actors in Shortland Street saw me, they knew their contract was about to expire. They used to shit themselves. But yes, now I've been doing a bit of Broken Wood, a little bit of stuff here and there, little pieces here and there, which is really nice. It's not too vigorous. It's not too stressful. What about yourself, Mike? What have you been up to? Because I know you're a busy man as well.
Well, you know, surprising, really. I mean, you've brought up the fact that I am the best actor in the country, and you sort of think, well, as soon as you get that accolade, you know, the offers are going to start pouring in, but they haven't.
Yeah.
And the only job I've had in the last 3 years is in Wellington Paranormal. But I did get an interesting offer came through this week, actually.
Yeah.
And no audition required. And it's for Andrew McCartan's latest project.
Oh, okay.
He's an Academy Award. He's a Kiwi guy, Academy Award winning writer. And he wrote The Theory of Everything, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow, okay.
And he's also currently working on screenplays with Neil Diamond for his life story and Mick Jagger as well. So, yeah, it's really good to actually get some quality coming through.
Right.
So I don't want to work all the time, mate. I just want to work on things that I can be proud of.
Yes,
you know? If I don't want to watch it, then I don't want to be in it, really, is my feeling on things. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how that pans out.
And what is it exactly? What's the name of the...
Ladies' Night. It's going to be on at Centrepoint Theatre in Palmerston North from the middle of October until the end of the year.
Ladies' Night?
Yeah, it's a...
Where's it playing?
Palmerston North, Centrepoint.
Right.
Yeah, Andrew McCartan wrote it, and I think about... Well, he didn't write it. I think it was an English writer. and he sort of did an adaptation for New Zealand.
Okay.
In about 1992.
Okay. You do know for that particular show that the male actors do actually get their full kit off.
Yeah, it's a strip tease, isn't it? And lucky I've been doing a bit of working out lately.
Well, you're looking in great shape, so
I feel pretty good about that. But I'm happy getting down to my boxes. It's all right.
Yeah, we're not even talking boxes here. I'm thinking, because I remember the great Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
That great man, sadly missed. He was in Ladies' Night, and they were sold out every night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, well, he was a great-looking guy, let's be honest. And I'm pretty sure
people say that about us.
Yes. Well, yes. So, good luck. So
you're saying G-string?
No, I'm saying full nudity.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's something you might want to just have a little think about, mate, because I know that, well, we've talked about this in the past, you're chewed up. Because you had an issue as a young kid with your chewed up foreskin. Well, it wasn't chewed up, it was closed over, wasn't it? And you had to rip the
foreskin off.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that once we touch on some men's health stuff. But
yeah,
it's fun. It's actually, that's just dawned on me because I have done I've done a strip tease before. You know, sort of a fundraising thing that you do, and it was at the local rugby club there, and it was just for the wives and girlfriends sort of thing, and the netball,
like the full Monty.
Well, you know, that sort of
that
thing,
that kind
know,
of thing. Yeah,
yeah, and it's everyone's getting a few drinks them and trying to raise some money for the club there, and you know, I just remember you sort of black out a bit because it's quite nerve wracking taking your clothes off and dancing in front of people, which I'm not.
Well, especially when you've got legs and testicles like me, mate.
That's right. And so I remember, you know, the crack, you know, getting my shirt off. Girls are going absolutely nuts, you know, just screaming. Aah!
Yeah.
I was in pretty good shape back then. And then I went fully off with the pants, and there was just this collective gasp.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And now that probably is because of my chewed up half sausage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's nothing more sort of, what's the word, shrinking than when you take your pants off to hear a gasp, not a pleasurable gasp, a gasp of, can I phrase it, a gasp of horror.
Yeah.
There you go. So.
Oh, well.
Well, something for you to consider anyway, mate. All the best with that down in Palmy North there. Where was it? The Centre Point.
Yeah.
Great theatre, that. Great theatre.
Hope it's got good dark lighting then.
Indeed. Right, but we have been talking sex, and so I think it's time for us to go into a bit of relationship.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Advice.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's Relationship Advice with Jace and Mike.
Bit of relationship advice, and thanks again to our listeners out there who have been sending in some letters to us, and feel free to do the same. You can hit me up on Mr. Mike Minogue on my Instagram account or email us at crouchingknight@gmail.com.
Why Crouching Knight, by the way? Where's that from?
Oh, it's just an old email address that I use for stalking.
Right, okay. Crouching Knight. Great stuff. Yeah, good. And so, actually, this is the interesting thing about all the letters and stuff we receive, Mike. A lot of people getting down to the sex, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
We don't. That's not what we're about. But we're prepared to take one or two.
Yeah,
of
we
those.
Do. Well, you do want to know about your relationship stuff. You know, things where you are having trouble. You know, just connecting with your partner. You might have been with them for a few years, or trying to find common interests, or you know, maybe your wife or girlfriend just won't stop nagging, and you're wondering, how do I just shut her up?
Right.
You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and just things like
conversely, the male might be the issue.
Yeah. You know, just things like laundry and chores around the place, that sort of thing. Just everyday sort of living stuff is the sort of thing we're looking for.
And you know, the listeners might be asking, well, what do we know about it? Why would we ask these guys for advice? I mean, Jace, you've been in a long-term relationship now. How long is that?
Yeah, 24 years, mate.
Right, so 24 years. So you're doing something right.
Yeah, well, yeah. or I'm just being completely ignored. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and interesting, that was a relationship that started from a show.
Oh, really?
There was a lot of chemistry going on, but we didn't
have
any...
She in the short film with you?
No, she wasn't in the short film, but we had a lot of chemistry going, but we didn't have a sex scene together till we started going out.
Oh.
Then we had a sex scene.
Was it a private sex scene?
It was a private sex scene, yeah. It wasn't filmed.
Pay-per-view. Oh, No. One of those viewing booths.
Yeah.
Well, you had to put your 20-cent piece in there.
Never been in one of those. But what's the question, Mike? Because I'm curious to know... and slightly terrified at the same time to know what it is.
Dear Jason, Mike, my partner and I have been together for nearly 3 years now. We never had amazing sex, but I was happy enough.
We're already off to a situation where, but I was happy enough. So, well, I mean, it wasn't great, but it'll have to do.
I mean, you've only been together for 3 years and sex has never been good. So, I mean, this is getting back to this chemistry thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it feels like a bit of a dead rubber already. He's on anxiety medication. Which I believe can interfere with desire. This also causes erectile dysfunction, which of course doesn't help. Well, I wouldn't have thought so. But there are other ways we can achieve intimate satisfaction with each other. Are there?
What was the question?
Well,
are there other ways we can...
Well, I'm asking you.
Oh,
there
right.
I guess you can do a bit of this. Yeah, okay, sure. A year ago, we moved away from my hometown to buy a business that we both run together. I'm now living away from my family and friends in a new community. His interest in sex has dropped right off, where he no longer wants it and insists that most couples that are around our age, 50, don't or really have sex anyway.
Right, okay.
Who do I know that's 50-ish? I know I might have my faults in the bedroom, one being I'm very much a lie back and give it to me type of gal.
Good God.
But this hasn't been an issue with past partners. Well, can I put it to you that it might be an issue with your past partners because they're your past partners?
Yes.
And if it wasn't an issue, maybe they'd be your current partner. Just throw that out there. I also don't orgasm. But still enjoy.
Jeez, this is blunt, isn't it? I wasn't expecting something quite so blunt as this, but carry on.
I still enjoy and desire sex and intimacy. He says I don't seem to want to be sexy or erotic, and he'd like to see sexy lingerie, but I'm a bit of an old hippie and just like to get naked. He's a night owl and I'm an early bird, so I don't know when the grand lingerie event would happen anyway. Night after night, I go to bed on my own and wake up next to him snoring. I'm getting to a stage where I feel like asking if he would mind if I got my needs met elsewhere. I'm feeling sad and confused with resentment rearing its ugly head. Cheers, Sharon from the Naki.
Look, can I give my advice to Sharon if you don't mind, Mike?
No, go ahead.
I'd say flag it.
Yeah.
Look, I don't see anything redeeming there. I think just move on. But there was something quite defeatist about the whole thing. You know what I mean? I sort of lie there and, you know, I don't orgasm and it's never been that great. And but now it's got sort of even worse. Just flag it. Just walk away.
Yeah, he's a night owl. I'm an early bird.
Yeah.
You know, he's a snorer. He wants me to wear lingerie, but I've considered that too hard. I'd rather wander around naked. Yeah, it sounds to me like it's a too hard basket. If I was you, I'd break up with him before he breaks up with you.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's just around the corner to me.
Yeah, what's your philosophy on breaking up, Mike? You like to be the breaker-upper, or do you like to be broken up with?
I think probably...
Well, particularly in that scenario where the writing's on the wall, really, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't be more writing on the wall than that, and you just got to say, oh, look, this is ridiculous, just call it.
Well, can I just say, Sharon, you're 50, mate. You haven't got time to be messing around with somebody.
That's right.
You know, you got to get on. You're almost 50. You're almost dead, mate.
Yeah.
So you need to get out there and get into a...
Well, 50's the new 40, Mike.
Right.
So, you know, but just on it as well, mate. I mean... It sounds to me like she's not really interested in making much of an effort either.
Well, she's not.
He's obviously not that keen. She's obviously, you know, it's almost like, okay, well, let's just get this done kind of attitude. And if both parties are in that situation, I say flag it, move on.
Well, his dick doesn't work anymore.
Well,
so that's a good indication.
And there's nothing more crushing, and believe me, than trying to put on a condom when you're on an unerect penis, if I can be as blunt as
or
that.
Or trying to put a vagina on an unerect penis.
Well, exactly. So,
because that doesn't work either.
No. So I would. What was their name again?
Sharon from the Naki.
I think, Sharon, we're both on the same page here. Might flag it.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah, move on. She's over.
Okay, we'll keep those questions coming in terms of relationships too. We'll be sure to address them. But now, let's have a bit of sport chat, shall we?
He's been doing it all day, ref.
It's over.
Run, 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 kick. Sports Chat with Jason Mike.
Jeez, another great sting there, buddy.
That's a goodie, isn't it?
Bloody top work. I mean, it's the key. The key to a great podcast is stings. You've got to have good stings.
Yeah.
A lot happening on the sporting front. What do we want to...
Well, I guess, you know, again, it's one of these situations that the listeners might be saying to themselves, well, who are these guys to talk about sport? I mean, they're just a couple of, you know, white guys in their 40s and 50s talking about...
Well, I'll just stick with the 40s. We can just stick with the 40s there, mate. A couple of guys in their 40s.
With no expertise whatsoever, but not in this case, because I think you and I have both got a fairly decent pedigree when it comes to sport, mate. I mean, what was your sort of upbringing in the sporting world?
Well, you know, I spent my formative years in Rotorua, actually, Mike, where I was... quite a well-known and renowned soccer player.
Really?
For my age, I played for Rotorua City and for Otonga Primary School. And I had the distinct privilege, I guess, of my team, particularly for Otonga Primary School. We played three seasons without losing a game and won all the championships. And I was the goalkeeper of that side, Mike. And in three seasons, I led in one goal, my friend.
So close.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? So you're saying you're famous, you're well known.
Well, my father actually was a very talented goalkeeper, and he played for Rotorua City. He played up in Auckland as well. And my grandfather actually played for New Zealand once as goalkeeper.
Really?
Against Canada, which they lost the game 1-0, Brum Hoyt. A lot of people probably that listen to the ACC will be familiar with Brum.
Brum probably was a bit distracted by some of the ladies in the crowd.
Oh, well, exactly. Yeah, he was a shagger, no question about it. But so I had a bit of a pedigree, I guess you could say, you know, and I remember.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt you, but really diminishing returns there, isn't it? So you've got Brum who's played for New Zealand, your father who's played for Rotorua Seniors and then moved up to Auckland, and your claim to fame, you're telling me, is...
He also played for Auckland City, my father.
And Auckland City. And your claim to fame is you went pretty good in primary school.
Yeah, Otonga Primary School, undefeated for three seasons, mate.
Yeah, wow.
And I still remember to this day being a young fella and turning up to the pitch at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and it was actually... We didn't have proper goalposts for our games.
A couple of jerseys on the ground.
Well, no, we didn't even have. We had rugby posts.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was a massive goal, and I was a tiny little creature with wonky testicles and small legs. And so, you know, it was a real achievement. But I know that you yourself, Mike, were a pretty handy footballer.
Well, yeah, I did play a bit. Interesting, though, that you were a good goalkeeper, and I think those bandy, weird 315 legs of yours probably helped you out, because you had one foot ready to go one way and one foot ready to go the other.
Exactly,
so
mate.
So it probably helped you leap off a lot quicker. Yeah, no, I played soccer until probably I was about 13, rep soccer as well for the Hora Whenua.
Yes.
And was a striker and scored in one season there 67 goals.
Is that true, Mike?
That is true.
For Hora Whenua, you scored 67 goals.
For the local team. So our team, we were undefeated every single year that we played. The closest we came, and that was probably 8 years.
Yes.
And the game we came...
Well, that's a bit better than my three, isn't it?
Yeah. and the closest we drew one. We did actually draw a game against Ohau, which was devastating. I was furious when I got home about that one. And the highest scoring margin we had was 24-0.
Wow. And how many of those did you score? Can you remember?
Probably seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
There was another guy on the team, he got more than me, and that was fine.
I remember very well, I don't know, because we're of similar age, of turning up, as I was saying earlier, at the school, 8 o'clock in the morning, there was frost on the ground.
Yeah.
The excitement of playing, you know, we didn't have boots either. We didn't actually have football boots. That's how sort of primitive we were back then.
And how many people were on each team?
I think we had the full 11. The full 11. And
Did you guys have your own jerseys, or just wore whatever you wanted?
No, we had our own jerseys. Yeah. Otonga, it was a blue and white jersey, I think, if I recall correctly. And, you know, you'd freeze your feet off. And that was exacerbated by the fact that we played with those old leather footballs that used to just get absolutely absolutely sodden with rain and wet and turn into like medicine balls.
That's right. Well, there's a couple of issues, wasn't there? If you'd had a heavy rain or if it was indeed raining while you were playing and the grounds didn't sort of
drain
as well as they do these days.
Which I don't imagine they did in the horror Whenua.
No, not at all. And they're all sort of a bit wonky as well, the grounds. But, you know, you kick the ball and it would just sort of land. Or you'd be trying to dribble the ball and it would just, you know, it'd end up behind you, as you say, very medicine ball-like and bloody weigh a ton, those things.
Yes.
Hard for young kids to move the ball up the ground when it weighs about 11 kilos.
Well, for that big curling sort of pass to the winger on the outside there, sure. It was very difficult to do that with one of those balls.
Oh, it was absolutely impossible and probably something of a health risk.
Yes. Well, I know you had a few issues with it. Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I had concussion issues. We had a guy that who played in the midfield, and he had a very good boot on him, so he'd take our corner kicks for us, and I'd hang around in the box there and sort of claim a few headers into the back of the net. But over the course of the game, not just in a sort of a goal-scoring environment, but just in general play, you're knocking a few headers around.
Yes,
and it really rattles the brain. it was not rare for me to sort of do, you know, be 10 or 12, you know, headers in the course of a game, and, you know, you sort of black out a little bit and you maybe come to an hour or so later and, you know, you're eating an ice cream on your couch at home.
Yeah, so you've been mild. Well, it's serious. It was actually a huge issue, wasn't it? Yeah. You were mildly
How'd we go, Mum? How'd we go? You won. Oh, how did I go? Oh, you got 8 goals today. Oh, did I? Great.
Yeah.
And finish off your ice cream. And, you know, your weekends end up being a bit of a blur.
Yes, severely concussed. Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because I vividly recollect it was the end of our third season, and we'd got to a penalty shootout with the team that could overtake us in the competition. And, you know, we'd had the situation when the ball was very heavy, that wet leather ball. And we'd got to a situation where we were doing the penalty shootout. And to win the game, our striker had to just get the last penalty and score with the last penalty. And we would have won not only the game, but actually the entire season. And I'll never forget it. It's etched firmly in my memory as he came hurtling in, steaming in to nail that ball into the back of the net to win the championship for us. And he kicked the ball and his leg snapped clean in half. Clean in half, Mike. And, oh, the wails and the pain and the agony of it is still etched firmly in my mind.
Sort of that gasp went around the ground, didn't it?
Yes.
A similar gasp to when people saw my chewed up sausage.
Yes.
It's a very similar thing where you see something horrific that you weren't expecting.
And I think the ball went, after he'd kicked it only went about a foot. It was by that stage that heavy. And he had a very similar build to you, very lithe, very sort of slim fella. He was a great striker with very long legs, and it was just a brutal snapping.
Yeah, and I guess you guys would have been really pissed off because he cost you the game.
Yeah, well, exactly. That was the other thing. So we ended up not winning that particular. Well, we drew it with another team, Nongataha.
Oh yeah,
Nongataha, which is a suburb there.
Did they have boots?
Yeah, they did have boots.
Rich
you see,
bastards.
Us kids in Otonga, in the Otonga environment, mate, we were very poor, but we still played like demons.
Well, I mean, the kids on your team couldn't even afford legs that didn't snap.
Well, exactly. Now listen. As we said, we've been putting it out there to people, you know, what they want us to discuss and so forth, and we were absolutely inundated. And I can tell you in future podcasts, Mike, we will be covering off a lot more stuff. I'm just trying to find it here on my Google.
Well, here we go,
stylish home renovation ideas. We'll be covering off fireworks safety, office protocol, secondhand car checks, tips for new mums. That's a good one. Mm. Second-hand car checks, trading post, buy, sell and trade, and movie and book film reviews, mate.
Yeah, that's right. We think the trading post is a real winner. So if you've got something out there that you'd like to buy, sell or trade, again, you can get that through to us on the same email as any advice that you want to get through to us, which is crouchyknight@gmail.com or at Mr. Mike Minogue on Instagram there. Now, All of this stuff will be, any questions that you've got, you don't have to worry about it. It's all, you know, going to be treated with the utmost confidentiality.
Absolutely.
No names will be used unless we make them up. So feel free to go into as much detail as you like, and, you know, your name and details will be kept completely secret.
Absolutely, mate. Well, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure, and doing our first podcast, mate. What are your thoughts? Seem to go okay?
Yeah, well, so far, I mean...
Until we get the feedback.
Yeah, that's right. So also, yeah, I mean, if you've got any fan mail you want to send in, you know, maybe you think that Jace is just a cracking radio host and you'd like to give him a compliment, or, you know, just let us know how we could improve the show, by all means.
And just keeping in mind, of course, it's our first one too, Mike, and by Christ, so for our first one, we're humming along, so it's going to be great. Hey, look, thanks for joining All Talk with Jason Hoyt and Mike Minogue. We'll be back again. Are we going to do this weekly, Mike? I think that's the plan. We'll be doing it weekly, mate. We'll be chucking out there weekly. So make sure you tune into the next one. In the meantime, look after yourselves. Take care out there. Until then, goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.